I think I've been here a couple of times now with you as a church, and maybe you can accept my joke a little bit. It must have really scared you last Sunday when I asked you questions. Everybody's towards the back today. Well, I promise that today I won't ask you questions other than some rhetorical ones in the message. But we wanted to continue to a little bit and finish up this series that you've been having on New Life, what Jesus wants to grow in us. And we're going to be looking at several different passages this morning as we look at and try to conclude that message series. Last week we looked at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and looked at Paul as an example as to how we need to begin to develop the characteristics and how we need to be working with others, working with each other. What do we need to begin to build in us? What is God trying to build in our lives? How is the Holy Spirit working in us and developing in us the kind of characteristics that Paul showed with the church in Thessalonica? And today, to finish the series, we're going to look at a little bit more at Jesus and his example to us as a good shepherd. But one of the things that we have to be careful about is that we want to make sure that we don't just fall into, okay, now we have this new life in Jesus, and Jesus is growing in us, and the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, and now everything's okay. I don't have to worry about other things because I have this new life in Jesus. Is this what it really means to be a Christian and to be a faithful follower of this Jesus, of this new life that we have in Him? Is it okay just to be good ourselves? Or is there something more that God is calling us to do? To begin looking at the passages this morning, I ask you in your Bibles, and I think they'll be on the screens as well, we're going to look first at John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And we're going to look in John chapter 10, a very familiar passage about Jesus saying that He is our good shepherd. And before we can move on and see what God has planned for us, we have to make sure that we know where we stand and where we're at and who we belong to. Who owns us? Who has our hearts? Who has our lives? Who do we belong to? I'm going to look at John chapter 10 first to begin looking at that. So if you want in your Bibles or you can look up on the screens, we're going to read just a few verses from John chapter 10, beginning at verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The first part of the message today that I want to make sure we know very well is that we belong to the good shepherd. To the good shepherd. Jesus himself is speaking here in John, and he is sharing with people, I am the good shepherd. I am the one that's going to care for you, watch over you, tend for you. I'm the one that you belong to. And he's telling this to his disciples surrounding him, to the people that are listening around. But he also is telling this to us. In the verses that we read, it talks about that he has other sheep. And we are that other sheep. We are the other sheep that Jesus mentions in John chapter 10. He's looking forward to us coming and being part of his family and belonging to him as well. This message of I am the good shepherd wasn't just for those who were hearing. Jesus himself is saying, you know what? There's other people that are going to come around and come in the future, and they're going to be part of my sheep as well. You don't know them. You don't know what they're like. You don't know what they look like. They may be very different, but they're also my sheep, and I'm their shepherd. In the Heidelberg Catechism, and if I ask you to turn in your bulletins, you can have that, and that is inserted in there as well. We read this very plainly in Lord's Day 21, the Heidelberg Catechism from our church, from the Christian Reformed Church. It's one of our main creeds. What we say, this is what we believe. In Lord's Day 21, the Heidelberg Catechism is divided in the different weeks of the year. So there's 52 Lord's Days, and then there's questions and answers. And I'd just like to read from Lord's Day 21, question and answer 54. What do you believe concerning the Holy Catholic Church? In other words, this part of the Heidelberg Catechism is talking about the Apostles' Creed. So what do we believe about the church? What do we believe about us? I believe that the Son of God, through the Spirit and Word, out of the entire human race, from the beginning of the world to its end, gathers, protects, and preserves for himself a community chosen for eternal life and united in true faith. And of this community, I am and always will be a living member. It's a wonderful summary of what Jesus is saying in the passage of John 10. Out of all places in the world, of all people in the world, God, through Jesus, is gathering together his church. He selects and chooses them. And they come from different backgrounds and different places. But he is choosing them. He is their shepherd. And he's gathering his other sheep. I thought that today that was an important message to have as well. We have a group of this church that's in Trinidad, right? And in Trinidad, there is a church. They're working with churches there and then probably worshiping right now, right at this time, at some church, worshiping together with other believers. And the church in Trinidad is the same church we are. And the church in Trinidad belongs to the Good Shepherd just like we belong to the Good Shepherd. All of us belong to this Good Shepherd. And he calls us from different backgrounds and different places and different customs. Sometimes we get in the way of the work that the Good Shepherd is doing in calling his church. We get in the way by fighting with each other, by making things that aren't quite as important, making them way too important, by making our customs and traditions, making those the core of what the gospel message is about, as opposed to making Jesus the core of what we're all about. We talk about new life and new life in Jesus and what Jesus is trying to grow in us, but we have a picture for it. We have a picture of what that may look like, and it looks like what we think it looks like as opposed to what the Word says or what Jesus tried to create. This church looks very different than many of the churches that I've been to. In fact, for the churches in Africa, you'd have to redesign everything that we have here. Okay? For most of the places in Africa, if you wanted to go to a church there and see God's chosen and see the sheep of Jesus in that place, you'd want to make sure that all the benches and chairs that we have here get all pushed as far to the sides as possible. Because we want the middle aisle to be as big as possible. Any ideas why? Because when you worship, you have to dance. You know, in the sitting part, that's just the boring part. That's when the preacher speaks and that kind of a thing. Just the boring part. The exciting part of worship and coming together as believers is that we can get to dance together. So you would have all the chairs to one side and to the other side, and this big center aisle would be nice and wide. And throughout all the worship songs that we had this morning, you'd see everybody get out of the chairs and start dancing. And dancing in the center aisle. If you go to Russia, I don't know. I know that you have a couple other pastors here that attend your church as well. I know that last week Pastor Fred was here as well. I haven't seen him yet this morning. But you'd be in serious trouble if you want to have two worship services this morning if you were in Russia with more than one pastor in the crowd. Because you see that later on service, that 10:45 service, is probably going to be a little bit later this morning if we were in Russia. See, anytime there is a preacher or a pastor in the church, everyone has to preach. So if you have three or four pastors, okay, that are sitting in the church, you have three or four sermons that morning. Because they all have to come up. And when they come up, they do something that probably would be a little bit different for you. When they come up, and I don't know, Tristan, you were in Italy just a few weeks ago, so maybe you got used to it a little bit, because I know they do this kind of a thing there. But you greet each other with a kiss. Okay? With a kiss. So Tristan would have to be up here, and when I came up, he would actually kiss me on the lips. Okay? Not in the cheek, on the lips. Okay? Because we greet each other with a kiss. Or is that not biblical? For us, it may be the way we do worship, or the way we dress, or what we are normally accustomed to in the church. It may be things that we think, well, this is the way church should be, but we got to stop thinking that way and start thinking the way Jesus did, I am the good shepherd, and I'm calling people from all places, from all cultures, all situations, and they're my sheep. And I'm here to gather those other sheep. And they all belong to me. Before we move on and finish this series about the new life and that Jesus is trying to grow in us, what Jesus is trying to grow in us, we need to make sure that we understand that we belong to Him. And not because of who we are or what we do or how we look or how we worship or how we do church. But we belong to Him because He gave His life for us. Because He said, I'm here to give up my life for yours. So that all your sins may be covered over. So that everything may be completely made clean. I am the Good Shepherd. For us to understand a little bit more about the shepherd, I want us to go now to Ezekiel. And we can't look at John chapter 10, where Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd, without looking at the passage in Ezekiel 34. See, Ezekiel 34 is what Jesus is referring to when He starts speaking and says, I am the good shepherd. He knew that the people that were listening to Him would right away think about Ezekiel 34. Because He was saying with those words, I am fulfilling the promise that God gave in Ezekiel 34. So I want you to turn either in your Bibles or look up on the screen again to Ezekiel 34. And we're going to be reading a few verses from there. We'll begin first reading from 11 to 16. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture. And the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, He is referring to this passage, the promise that God, that I myself will take care of you. And Jesus is the fulfillment of this passage. What is this new life that Jesus is trying to grow in us? It's a new life in which we belong to this good shepherd. The one that strengthens us when we're weak. The one that binds up our injuries and cares for us. The ones that when days of cloud and days of darkness, no matter if the storms come or whatever it may be in our lives, that He goes and gets us and protects us and feeds us, gives us the best things that we need, lets us feed in the good pasture, prepares the way so that our lives may be ones that reflect His blessing. This is the Good Shepherd. The new life, what Jesus is trying to grow in us, is first of all that we belong to Him, to that good shepherd, to that promised shepherd from Ezekiel 34, that good shepherd that protects and guides and leads and gathers us from no matter where, from no matter what background we're from. This morning in the second service, we'll be able to see the baptism of children and new members coming into Christ Community Church. And this is true for a message that should remind us every time we have these kind of events, the baptism and the memberships. And every time we have that, it should remind all of us that we belong to this Jesus and that we have this new life. What these people will be coming here to saying is that, yeah, I belong to that new life in Jesus. And I belong to this church where the Good Shepherd is leading. But as I said earlier in the message, it's not about us. If you remember from last week, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, it wasn't about Paul. Paul wasn't there to satisfy himself, and he didn't sit back and say, you know, Jesus has given me everything, what a wonderful life, so I have nothing more to do. No, Paul began to care for the people in Thessalonica and for all the churches that he planted. He began to take that new life that Jesus had given him and began to put it into practice and began to develop all his characteristics that the Holy Spirit was developing in him. He was beginning to be the example that Jesus had been for us and for him. In the same way that Jesus laid his life for us, as he says in John chapter 10, what that good shepherd does, we also need to begin doing the same for others. I want us to go back to Ezekiel chapter 34. We just read a portion of that chapter that talks about this good shepherd. But I want to read a few verses more and just share together what our responsibility is. In Ezekiel 34, God is saying, I myself will shepherd you and will be your good shepherd. In John 10, Jesus himself says, I am that good shepherd. But then there's a switch in the passage in Ezekiel. And it goes from the understanding of what God is doing to now beginning to understand what is happening among the people of God, among Israel in that time, the people of God. Verse 17, as for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another, and between rams and goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? Must you also trample the rest of your pasture with your feet? Is it not enough for you to drink clear water? Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Must my flock feed on what you have trampled and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away. I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be the prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. There's a switch in the passage. It begins with understanding of what this promised shepherd was going to be like and what God was going to do through this Messiah. But then says the Lord, I want to talk to you now. There needs to be, and there should have been, a change in your life. And that change in your life is that you are no longer sheep, you are actually shepherds. And because you've been such bad shepherds, I need to send this good one. But you still have that responsibility. You're responsible for others around you. You're responsible for what you do. You're responsible for what happens to all those that are around you. If you are part of God's sheep, you're also shepherd to all those who are around you. In Ezekiel 34, the prophet talks about the bad shepherds, the bad sheep. He gives the illustration and continues talking about the sheep and shepherds and says, well, you know, you guys, and he's talking to the people of Israel, you butted people out. You didn't let them through to the good pasture. When you got to places of water, what you did, instead of, you know, just, you couldn't be happy just with drinking good water yourself, you made sure you trampled all the water so that the mud started to go out so that if anybody comes later on, if any other sheep would come to try to get water, they wouldn't be able to drink it because it was all muddied. And I'm going to bring judgment over you. There is a responsibility that you have, not just for what you were able to get. It wasn't whoever was first in line. It isn't whoever I've given this good pasture and this good water to that they can do whatever they want with it. No, you are responsible for what you do with what I give you. And what you have done has been awful. When others have tried to get into the good pasture, you have made sure that there's nothing left. When there's been nice clean water that you can drink, you made sure you drank first, but then worry about the other ones. What kind of condition you were leaving the water. I have a little bit of some water and some dirt here, and I just want to just show you a little bit of what kind of thing was happening. What was happening is the sheep would come to drink some good water, but then there would just be some dirt on the bottom of that river or bottom of that little lake, a little pond. And just a little bit of dirt, not much. All of a sudden, the sheep started to take that dirt and began to make it nice and muddy. Nice and muddy. And they made sure that they drank first, that they had the good water. But when they left with the water looking like this. Now, if you're the other sheep, anybody want to have a taste? Any volunteers? Not very appetizing. Not very nice. But this is what Ezekiel 34 is talking about. There was nice clean water that all of a sudden was made muddied because they were thinking of only of themselves. How do we do this? We do this by imposing things on others as to what it means to be a Christian. If you want to come into Christ Community Church, if you want to come in and be part of this family, you know, you have to be this way. Because that's the way we are. We make sure we drink first and then others. As opposed to what we read and looked at last week on Paul, we weren't gentle, we weren't caring, we weren't like mothers and like fathers, we weren't looking out after them. In fact, we were being a burden. We were being harsh. We butt into people, make sure that we get there first in the line. And it doesn't matter what happens to the rest in this community. We put things and we make decisions as a church sometimes and just in our daily lives and things that we practice every day that give people the impression that Jesus may not be for them. That yes, we have this new life, but you know what? I don't care so much about you. You can find Jesus. I found him. We do that all the time. Sometimes it's with our actions, sometimes with our attitudes, sometimes with our way of speaking. I've mentioned to you before that my wife Kathy and I lead a ministry that's called Vision 214, and we work with church planters. And in Latin America, we have a tremendous custom. It's a wonderful custom of referring to each other always as brother and sister. Okay? That would be Brother Tim. Okay? And Brother Ken. And if I remember correctly, Sister Lisa, so forth, and Brother Tristan. And every time we'd see each other as believers, we always refer to each other as brother or sister in one way, shape, or form. It's a great way of communicating that we're part of this family. It's one of the hardest things to break with church planters. You see, when they go out and start new churches in areas where there aren't believers, they're not your brothers or sisters yet. So sometimes very simple words that have very good intentions and very good understanding can affect what someone thinks or believes about how you feel about them. See, we work with them and train with them and say, you know, in your small group, when you're studying the Bible for the first time with people, don't call the other, you know, member of the church that is with you at the Bible study and is helping you out. Don't say, you know, Brother Jim or Sister Mary or whatever it is. And then you refer to these other people as nothing. You just call them by name. What have you just done? We talk to them about that. Well, you just created a separation between those that aren't in the church and those that are in the church, about the sheep that are already there and the other sheep that are yet to come. Sometimes it's simple words that we say, how we talk, the language that we use. Are we looking to include and to bring people in? Or are we satisfied that we were able to be part of this family already? Sometimes it's actions and attitudes that we have towards people. you know, if your life isn't so great, your marriage is not so great, you're pregnant, not married, this isn't the place for you. And maybe it is the place for you because you need to change your life and to repent for what you've done. We're going to make sure you do it as publicly as possible so that you know that you did wrong. We're going to have you come forward and repent in front of the whole church. Sometimes we muddy the water for others. We're here. Jesus is growing in us. We have this new life. And we forget that we're responsible for the kind of water that others will drink. Let's go back to Scripture. The new life that Jesus is picturing for us is one that's different. And I want to go this time to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. And we're going to read together just a few verses that show what this new life is supposed to look like. Not like dirty water. Not bumping into others so that they can't see who Jesus is. But let's look at what that new life really should look like. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Back to the Lord's Day. Lord's Day 21, question and answer 55, the following question. What do you understand by the communion of saints? First of all, it talks about what do you understand by the church, but what do you understand now by what we do together, the communion of saints? First, that believers one and all, as members of this community, share in Christ and in all His treasures and gifts. Second, that each member should consider it a duty to use these gifts readily and cheerfully for the service and enrichment of the other members. What we are to do is to take this dirty water. I've traveled throughout many different places, and one of the things that isn't as great of a need anymore. There's a lot of bottled water everywhere. I had a little nice handy-dandy filter that worked very well for me. And it would take this nicely muddied water, no matter where I was, and it began to work and do its job. I don't think I ever tried that muddy water when I was drinking. If it was that, I just went thirsty. But if the water wasn't all that great, I would just let it go a little bit and then work through. It's just a normal, just a simple filter. It takes a little bit of time. But then things started to change. I could take the dirty water that maybe I wasn't so sure about and be able to make it clean again. It's something, a very simple device. Ezekiel 34 talks about the sheep that forgot what their responsibility was and they muddied the waters. What is the new life that Jesus is trying to grow in us? It's to be able to do this to the water again. See, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about that we are His ambassadors. Jesus Himself in Matthew 28, all authority is given to me so that you may go out and make disciples of all nations, of all peoples, no matter what their background is, no matter what has muddied their waters before, whether it be sin, whether it be even other Christians, you can make that water clean. Again, you are the filters. You are the filters for people's lives so that when they go to drink, they can drink nice, clean, clear water. That's what Jesus is trying to grow in you.
He wants to make sure that you know that you belong to Him, that He is your good shepherd. But this isn't about you anymore. It was at one point. It was at one point about you and having that new life in Jesus. But that new life in Jesus is here for something else that's beyond you. It's to be able to take the muddied waters of people's lives and through the filter of your new life, be able to have them come and drink from the living water that they see in you, that they see because you have this new life through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit of what Jesus has done in you. We are to go from sheep to shepherds. We need to go and take this new life that God has given us and now put it into practice so that the people around us, everyone here in Plainfield, anyone that walks in at Christ Community, may drink of the good water from the Good Shepherd, just as we did. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank You that You are the sovereign Lord, that You are the sovereign Lord that has given the Good Shepherd. We thank You, Father, because we belong to that Jesus. He is our Good Shepherd. He has tended for us. He has tended us. He has watched for us. He has cared for us. He has made us strong when we are weak. He has given us new life. Thank You, Father, because You are the God that gave the Good Shepherd for our lives. And now we pray that You will give us strength as a church to not just be happy and worship You and be glad that You have given us this new life, but now that we may be able, with the power of Your Holy Spirit, to put it into practice, to be the filters that people need to clean and clear that muddied water that they're living in. Father, help us through Your power to be the examples that Paul was in Thessalonica, to be the example that our Savior was to us. Help us to give our lives for theirs. May they see in us Your living water, Your clean and clear and crisp water for all those who thirst, for all those who need the Good Shepherd. Give us Your power to share the good news. Give us Your power to be transformed from sheep into shepherds. In Jesus' name, the Good Shepherd's name, we pray. Amen.